This is 89.1 WEMU News, and I'm David Fair. People in Washtenaw County are all too familiar with 1,4-dioxane. It is a chemical that has contaminated a spreading portion of the Ann Arbor area's groundwater. The contaminant emanates from the old Gelman Sciences facility on Wagner Road in Scioto Township. It is not, however, the only place you will encounter what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has called a probable human carcinogen. While perhaps of lesser concern, WEMU's Barbara Lucas has found that dioxane exists in a plethora of other everyday items. And that's the focus in our latest presentation of The Green Room.
Americans bought about 50 billion plastic water bottles last year, most of them made from PET plastic. What's a byproduct of PET production? You guessed it. Studies have found dioxane at levels of 100,000 parts per billion in the wastewater of PET manufacturing plants. That's the sound of an ordinary household reverse osmosis filter system. Unfortunately, such a filter cannot take dioxane out of water. But did you know there's a chance that when first installed, it might have actually added dioxane to drinking water? Dioxane is used in manufacturing cellulose filters, and sometimes there's traces of residual dioxane left on the filters. That's why instructions call for flushing them out with water after first installing them.
So Nate's working on car seat samples. So we're analyzing children's car seats for hazardous flame retardants. So
I'm at the Ecology Center in downtown Ann Arbor, where tests are done on consumer products to detect toxic substances. Jeff Gearhart is research director. They don't test for dioxane here, but Gearhart has been following the dioxane situation in Ann Arbor since doing his thesis on it nearly three decades ago.
Cellulose acetate filter production.
We're looking through a huge book, chock full of sources of dioxane.
Printing inks, paints, adhesives, flame retardant productions, polymer production, aircraft de-icing fluid, cleaning fluids, ranges of personal care products, detergents, shampoos, and even pesticides.
The list goes on. Pharmaceuticals, plastics, food. And because so much ends up in landfills, landfill leachate is a common source of dioxane.
So it's ubiquitous throughout chemistry, really.
Gearhart tells me about green chemistry.
It's really going back to the chemist and saying, let's figure out how we can actually do chemistry that's highly efficient, that's green, that doesn't bring along these other chemicals for the ride.
He says it's a preventable situation.
We really need to take a step back, look at product design and chemistry design, and understanding that these are consumable products that end up going someplace. Dioxane is a great example of these problems.
He says it's also a failure of priorities.
People call them environmental disasters like Flint, but really they're predictable outcomes of a systematic disinvestment in environmental and health regulations and environmental health infrastructure.
There's no law regulating dioxane in our food, soaps, or other consumable products. Gearhart says it's not an intentional ingredient. It's a leftover from manufacturing processes, a contaminant.
Consumers are always in a difficult spot in terms of that. And that's one of the reasons we continue to push for full ingredient disclosure, including contaminants that may be in products.
Until then, there's the internet. Unfortunately, when I Google products containing 1,4-dioxane, I find my favorite laundry detergent, my favorite dish soap, and my favorite shampoo. Barbara Lucas, 89.1 WEMU News.
The Green Room is a presentation of the WEMU News Department. To hear the entire Green Room series on the Ann Arbor area's 1,4-dioxane plume and to access the full Green Room archive, visit our website at wemu.org. This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair.